Senate Minority Leader Mitch McConnell says he won't support a commission to investigate the January 6th insurrection. That's a blow for a group of lawmakers who want a bipartisan investigation like the one that looked into the 9/11 attacks. We're talking about that and more in our weekly look at the top stories in Washington. And we want to hear from you at 800-642-1234. Do you want to see a special commission investigate what happened at the nation's capital on January 6th? What questions do you have about that day that you think an investigation could answer? Do you want to see bipartisan agreement on what that commission could look like? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 or email ideas@WPR.org. Andy Duren covers Congress and American politics for The Wall Street Journal. Andy, welcome back to the show.
Thanks for having me. Great to be here.
Before we get into the statement from Senate Minority Leader McConnell today, can you let us know where we are on legislation that would create this commission?
So at the beginning of this week, there was actually a bipartisan agreement between the top lawmakers on the House Homeland Security Committee. The top Republican and the top Democrat said they had reached a deal to form a commission, a bipartisan commission, to study the attacks or the events of January 6th. And so this was something that had been in negotiations for quite some time, and that there had been some back and forth on. And Democrats said that they had kind of accommodated some of the Republican requests, and so there was finally this agreement. But then not long after that, House Minority Leader Kevin McCarthy said that he would not support the agreement. And then earlier today, Senate Minority Leader Mitch McConnell, the top Republican in the Senate, said that he would not also would be opposed to this commission. So that said, there will still be a vote on this, on creating this commission later today in the House. And it is actually expected to garner a fair amount of Republican support. There are a number of Republicans who, actually voted to impeach Donald Trump over the events of January 6th. And then there are, other Republicans who, who do want to see a more thorough investigation and an investigation conducted by people who are not members of Congress into those events. So, the statement that McConnell made this morning was kind of the latest turn of the screw, but then there will be the vote today to actually create that commission in the House, and then it will go from there to the Senate.
Yeah, let's listen to Mitch McConnell, Senate Minority Leader, here talking earlier today on the Senate floor.
It's not at all clear what new facts or additional investigation yet another commission could actually lay on top of existing efforts by law enforcement and Congress. The facts have come out, and they'll continue to come out.
McConnell there referring to, I think, some congressional committee investigations. Why are, for example, Democrats and, as you mentioned, some Republicans hopeful that this will be done by people not currently in Congress, something like the 9/11 Commission?
So I think there are a couple of reasons. I think one is there is maybe the, added authority of having a commission that is structured in a bipartisan way and that is not conducted by members of Congress themselves. It kind of washes away some of the concerns about partisanship, their accusations of partisanship and how the investigation is conducted and what the investigation maybe concludes. I think another element of it too, and something that some of the Republicans who support the commission have brought up, is that there are certain, elements of the events of January 6th that it would be easier for a commission like this that kind of has an overall mandate to investigate all the various events of the day to investigate. So an example of that is something like, the contacts that, then President Trump had with members of Congress during the attack and on the day of the attack, and, basically giving the commission the ability to subpoena other members of Congress, including someone like House, like Kevin McCarthy, to compel them to talk about, what the contents of their conversations with Donald Trump were on that day and things like that. And so that is something, information like that is actually something that is seen as being pretty difficult to ascertain through kind of the existing congressional investigative structure and framework. And so folks are, that is an example, I guess, of the type of information that folks see as something that they could maybe possibly get through this other commission.
Talking to Andy Duren from the Wall Street Journal, looking at some of the top stories in national news, including right now the idea of creating this commission to look at the events of January 6th. You can join in with your thoughts on that at 800-642-1234. Let's bring on a caller now. Gwen is with us in Madison. Gwen, hi. Are you there, Gwen?
Hello?
Yeah, go ahead, Gwen. You're on the air now.
Okay. I very strongly believe that we need a January 6th commission similar to the 9/11 commission. And I would like to see it be bipartisan, but I don't want anyone on the commission who is not committed to an honest, full investigation that is not conducted in a way that, you know, has political leanings. I want it to be a fair, impartial evaluation.
Gwen, we're losing you a little bit, but I take your point. Thanks for that call. Andy, what do we know about this current plan as it stands about who would be on this commission, who gets to pick who would be on this commission?
So the membership of the commission was actually one of the sticking points in some of the negotiations. At first, there was, because Democrats currently control both the House and the Senate, the original proposal would have given them, Democrats the selection of the majority of the members of the commission. But one of the kind of revisions that was agreed to was that there would be an even split in terms of, the membership of the commission and, requiring that the chair and the vice chair, agree on subpoena requests and all sorts of things like that to try and level out, the influence that the Democratic leaders in Congress and the Republican leaders in Congress would have over its structure and its membership. In terms of, individuals who would serve on the commission, I think that's something that is still preliminary. I think, given the steep path for even creating this commission in the first place, I don't know that there's, specific ideas or specific people at this point that are going to be named, but I'm sure there are probably lots of people who would be interested in serving on a commission like that.
Can you talk about some of the politics behind this? We had, soon after January 6th, some Republicans critical of the president and of the insurrection itself. Minority Leader McConnell said after voting for impeachment or against impeachment, in February, he said former President Trump was practically and morally responsible for the attack. Now it seems like some Republicans have even said explicitly, we don't want to be focusing back on the past now. We want to look ahead to midterm elections. This would just get in the way. Can you talk about the politics behind this a little bit?
Yeah, certainly. So, of course, hanging over all of this is just the enormous difficulty that Republicans have had in both the House and the Senate dealing with the aftermath of the January 6th attack and of, President Trump's continued or former President Trump's continued influence over the party and his continued demands for, how Republican lawmakers should approach these issues and behave on and talk about these issues. And so, obviously we just went through, among House Republicans, there was just, just last week, the ouster of Liz Cheney, who was formerly the number three, one of the top members of the House Republican Conference. She was removed, voted out of her position because she did vote to impeach Trump after January 6th. And then also since then, she has been very consistent about, pointing out, the lies basically at the root of some of Trump's claims about what happened on January 6th and in the 2020 election. And so, there have just been, these continued conflagrations among Republicans over these events and what to do about Trump. And this is just, to your point, another instance where you have, you do have a minority of Republicans who do, they see January 6th as a very dangerous, attack on American democracy and a very dangerous kind of instance in American history. And they want to take, a number of steps to kind of, remove and excise as much as they can of what they see as the dangers there. And then you have a large set of Republicans who are still, still see Donald Trump as an important, motivator in Republican politics, an important draw for a lot of people to the Republican Party. And so they feel that they need to be loyal to him. And it doesn't, it also makes a difference that Donald Trump continues to kind of put out statements and, very vocally weigh in on a lot of these issues. And so it creates a lot of headaches for folks in terms of a lot of, political headaches for Republicans in terms of figuring out how to deal with all of this. And so, yeah, to your point, I think there is, you know, there is an element of creating this commission, you know, which is something that, you know, Donald Trump has said he opposes, is something that maybe Republicans don't want to vote to do, because it just adds to, you know, just creates more internal difficulties for them.
We're picking up our look at the top stories in Washington with Andy Duren from The Wall Street Journal. You can join in at 800-642-1234. In a few minutes, we'll get into the latest on efforts to pass something, anything on infrastructure. 800-642-1234 is the number to call. Still taking your calls right now on the idea of a January 6th commission. We'll go back to your calls. Charlie is with us in Milwaukee. Charlie, hello.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. If we talk about the infrastructure, I must say I'm amazed that the progressives have allowed the continuation of the SALT tax. I got to praise them for that, praise them for continuing to limit the deduction of the SALT tax. But the real thing that I found interesting about the commission is, how can anyone think that the commission would be unbiased and unpolitical when we just have the Russiagate, where the dossier turns out to be nothing more than Clinton campaign fodder? I mean, this is all political. This is nothing but going to continue to cause division within the country. And can't we just move on from Donald Trump and all the other stuff and get to back to just talking about policy?
Charlie, thanks for the call. The Russia investigation, the Trump White House, his attorney general appointed a Republican, Robert Mueller, to try to assuage concerns, I think, about partisanship. Andy, could something similar happen there? Is there a formula, do you think, to find a panel that people would view as reliable?
You know, I do think it certainly would depend on who was, you know, eventually or possibly selected to run a commission like this. To your point, I think, you know, at the time, Robert Mueller was, when he was selected, was seen as someone who would be kind of beyond or above partisan politics, given his background as a, you know, a lifelong Republican and someone who served in the government and was a respected law enforcement official for his whole career. But to the other point about, you know, folks wanting to move on and talk about policy, I do think that is a perspective that a lot of Republicans share when it comes to January 6th and even just, you know, Donald, the topic of Donald Trump in general and the 2020 election and the various kind of conversations around that. I mean, I do think that there have been these halting efforts by Republicans to try and focus on elements of President Biden's agenda that they see as, you know, politically advantageous to them, whether that's something like immigration or whether that's, you know, the president's proposed tax increases on corporations and high income households in the United States. Those are topics where Republicans think, you know, this is good politics for us if we can get out in front of, you know, television cameras and reporters and talk about, you know, these issues and kind of have stories about Republicans be focused on, you know, what we think about corporate tax rates or even the SALT deduction or all number of issues. That would be, you know, far better for, in terms of kind of bolstering popular Republican support than kind of going through you know, these various ins and outs of the events of January 6th and the 2020 election and having to just constantly, you know, navigate their relationship with President Trump, who, you know, while he, you know, not only did he, you know, lose the 2020 election, but then, you know, Republicans lost control of both the House and the Senate, you know, while he was in office. So there's, you know, there is a desire among Republicans to focus more on the Biden agenda and opposing it.
Thanks for the call, Charlie. Let's bring on one more call before we move on to infrastructure issues. Paul is with us in Richland Center. Paul, hi.
Hey, thanks, Rob. I just want to speak to Republican voters at both the local level, the state level, and the national level. The difference between the 9/11 commission and what's going to happen with this January 6th commission is that the 9/11 commission had bipartisan support because the people that did the attacking were of people of a different skin color. And the January 6th were white folk that supported Trump, their supreme leader. And I am so sick of people just voting Republican, and we need to stop this. We need to make sure that we understand who we're voting for. There are plenty of Democratic local, state, and federal people that are running, but they're not getting votes. And I am just really tired of it.
Paul, thanks for the call. As we wrap up on this, Andy, do you see that as driving, or maybe just the partisan makeup of the Washington, D.C. January 6th events as being fundamentally different from those 9/11 attacks, and as our caller said, making it harder to get agreement from Republicans?
Oh, I think, of course, that is a part of all of this. Not only is not only did many Republicans in Congress did they vote not to certify Joe Biden's victory in the 2020 election on January 6th, which was kind of the subject of a lot of these of the attack on January 6th. But then they also are this idea that the election was stolen in November 2020, and that Donald Trump is somehow did win that is something that is an idea that has some pull among Republican voters across the country, and so that is something that a lot of Republicans on January 6th and since then they feel somewhat beholden to at least entertaining that idea and the some of the legitimacy of some of these claims because of the politics of it and the fact that people whose vote they want do believe these things, and so they to vote for a commission that undercuts those ideas or challenges those ideas presents just political challenges for them.
Talking to Andy Duren. He covers Congress and American politics for The Wall Street Journal, looking at some of the top stories in national news. Let's move finally to infrastructure. Andy, you've been following this. What kind of conversations are going on in Congress right now as, at least in theory, people are trying to negotiate some kind of infrastructure spending bill?
Yeah, so the main conversations happening right now is they're between the White House, a group of administration officials, and a group of Senate Republicans who have kind of put out their own counter proposal to the White House's $2.3 trillion infrastructure plan. So there was there were some meetings last week where this group of Republicans, they were up at the White House meeting with President Biden in the Oval Office. And then actually just yesterday, a few of these administration officials, including folks like Transportation Secretary Pete Buttigieg, were actually on Capitol Hill meeting with the Republicans there. So far, there have been a few of these conversations. And even before that, there have been a lot of kind of, contacts with bipartisan groups of lawmakers on Capitol Hill in the White House. There are still a lot of fundamental issues that are, not resolved at this point, including primarily, even how much money should be spent on infrastructure. This group of Senate Republicans has proposed a $568 billion plan over 5 years. The Biden plan is obviously much larger than that. And then, so they're still, quite far apart on just, what to spend. And then there's the possibly even more difficult question of, this question of financing it and how to pay for it. So Biden administration has proposed, a series of tax increases on corporations to pay for the infrastructure part of their agenda. And then the Senate Republicans have kind of offered a series or talked about a series of user fees or using existing federal funds. And so though there has not been, much, I guess you could say, visible progress on some of those, fundamental issues in the talk so far, the latest kind of development is that, the White House indicated after yesterday's meeting that they expect to kind of respond to the Republicans in a little bit more of a formal way by the end of this week. And so we'll see what happens there. But to your point, there are a lot of, major differences between Republicans and Democrats on this issue. And then there is also just the fact that Democrats do have the ability to move forward with infrastructure spending without Republican support if they want to. So that's just another part of this where, that will limit the number of concessions that Democrats want to make when they do have the power ultimately to do a fair amount of what they want to be able to do along party lines.
Is there any sense that we're near, the light at the end of the tunnel here? Because on this segment, we've had a category of latest conversations about infrastructure. I don't know, going back well into the Trump administration, does it seem like anything's actually moving?
I do think there are, so obviously there are all these differences. There are the main reason to still believe that there could be a deal here is that Congress has a statutory requirement to reauthorize federal infrastructure and transportation programs every few years. And so Congress currently faces a deadline of September 30th to reauthorize a whole bunch of different infrastructure programs that already exist. And usually when these reauthorization opportunities come up, Congress will also add new programs, increase funding, make changes to the existing programs and things like that. And so that does have to happen by the end of September. And because of kind of the various wonky budget rules, it seems like that is something that would have to basically happen with bipartisan support, especially in the Senate. And so there is that. That is kind of, I think, keeping people at the table, just this idea that there does need to be something that happens on some forms of infrastructure by the end of the federal fiscal year. And that probably has to be bipartisan. And even if that is ultimately, you know, much narrower than the Biden plan, maybe that's worth kind of taking that and running with it and, you know, crossing that to-do item off the list, so to speak. And, you know, President Biden has, you know, talked about this both publicly and in meetings with Republicans, saying, you know, I will maybe look at a narrower infrastructure bill, something, you know, much smaller than what I've proposed, and do that on a bipartisan basis first, and then move on to a broader, you know, more ambitious bill that I do, you know, just with other Democrats. But these are all still very much in kind of the theoretical phase, in terms of there haven't been any, you know, major decisions made. The White House has not said anything super conclusive about what they think about what Senate Republicans are proposing. And so, you know, we are looking for more kind of concrete signals of where things are headed here and what decisions might actually be made about, you know, the various questions on infrastructure.
Andy, thanks a lot for joining us again.
Thanks for having me.
That's Andy Duren. He covers Congress and American politics for The Wall Street Journal. He is with us today for our weekly look at some of the top news in national politics.